When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's get fucking lucky! Look at that!
Bringing a whole new attitude to your afternoon.
The cream of the crop! Nobody does it better! Woo!
You know, two dudes talking sports.
It doesn't matter what your names are!
Live from News Talk 1480 WHBC.
It's a household name.
God created the heaven, he created the earth, he created
the Kenny and JT Show.
Have a great show!
And happy first Friday to you, and welcome to the Kenny and JT Show as we're broadcasting live from the corner of 6th and Market, beautiful downtown Kent. It's first Friday.
It is a first Friday, and the weather's kind of eh, but it's not horrible, right? I drove up. It was sprinkling. How about this?
Right.
I drive in from Medina. I leave at 68 Medina. I get here. It's 79 degrees. 11
really?
Degree difference.
Well, that's what happens when you drive that far south, Kent.
I guess, right? At least on my car thermometer.
Once you pass L.A., Lower Akron, it's a lot warmer here.
Okay, all right. So, yeah, so it's a first Friday.
Yeah.
It's a Hall of Fame Friday. Can't wait to talk with former Steeler, great Hall of Famer, Donnie Schell, going to be in studio with us as part of the residency program. It's going to be a great show today.
Not only that, it's the day before the Kentucky Derby.
Oh.
The 150th run for the Roses.
Yes.
Ernie Abood's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. By the way, I don't know if I told you this.
What?
He's our professional handicapper. Not only with horses, not just equine.
Okay.
This dude does it all.
What?
And rumor has it. Oh, yeah. He'll tell you about the NBA playoffs if you want to know.
Oh, gosh. For sure, I'll bet the opposite.
Look, my old Kentucky home. He's moving home to Canton, Ohio.
Is he really?
Rumor has it.
So we could have him in studio, possibly, on a weekly basis.
Remember the time we had him in here and he brought us cigars?
He did bring us cigars.
Looking like Joey Vegas.
And you know what? Here's the thing. He said, I'm bringing you these cigars so when I pick a winner, yeah, we can all smoke them together.
Yeah.
Guess what? We still haven't lit him up because he hasn't picked a winner. We still have the same damn cigars.
Actually, I think he picked the winner of the Derby last year.
I don't remember that.
Go back, bring up the audio. I think he picked the winner last year.
Just like you haven't seen the championship trophy from Trucker, I don't remember hearing that.
Good one. The problem with the Derby is you got three-year-old horses running in a race, and you really don't know what to expect, and they really haven't tuned up that well, and they're not really fully grown yet.
Yeah.
So it's the weirdest thing ever, and to make matters worse, normally if you follow racing at all, horse racing that is, normally a horse doesn't run every couple of weeks. To put them through this meat grinder, I still don't understand why they do it.
You know what? I don't follow it close enough. I know the three races, right? That's it. Those are the three that I pay attention to. And, of course, now that I'm a gambling degenerate, I saw where DraftKings today is offering you a great deal to sign up, where they'll give you some free money to spend, match your deposit if you bet on the Kentucky
Derby.
Let
me break it to you this way. This is the way I look at horse racing as it pertains to the Triple Crown.
Okay.
As in every other sport we see, minor leagues, college football is a minor league of the professional leagues, minor league baseball, G League in basketball.
Yeah.
The Triple Crown with the ages, these three-year-olds running in these three races.
Yes.
This isn't like the Breeders' Cup. The Breeders' Cup would be like the pro ranks. That's where you get the big horses, the fast ones.
Okay.
Now, that's not to say that a three-year-old horse isn't fast, but by the time they're eligible or old enough to be in the Breeders' Cup, that's the best of the best. That's the big leagues.
All right. I'm learning.
But even though those are the big leagues, where do we all want? We all want the Kentucky Derby.
Sure.
We want the Preakness. We want the Belmont. We want the Triple Crown.
What happens today? Isn't there a bunch of races today in Kentucky?
The Oaks are usually the day before.
Day before. Okay. So I saw some people today, and they're betting on the horse races today. And then, of course, tomorrow, post time is 6:57.
Now, I've never been to Churchill Downs with the exception of Derby Day. I've been to the Oaks.
Okay.
And it's packed. It's a huge party in Louisville. I mean, if you want to put something on your bucket list, and a lot of people say, go to a Notre Dame football game. Go to a Derby weekend because Louisville is unbelievable. Now, you've been to an Indy 500. I would imagine it's similar to that with the parties and the night before and everything else.
Well, here's the thing. I've driven around the track on the Indy 500. I didn't go to the actual event.
Oh, I thought you did.
No, we went for an Ohio State football game at Indiana, and part of our package, tour package, was, hey, we're going to take you to the track, drive you around the track. So I got to see how big it is, and there's a golf course where you can play nine holes, too, right there. So I can just imagine what the infield party must be like for the Indy 500, NASCAR events, and, of course, the Kentucky Derby.
Well, then I'll do my Rosanna Dana. Never mind. I thought you went to the Indy 500.
Just goes to show you. If it's not one thing, it's another.
I thought you went to that race.
I wish. You know, as a kid, I was a big fan of Al Unser, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I had this sweet car at home that, you know, you could push it around and everything, and but when you opened it up, instead of having the motor inside, it's where you put matchbox cars, the little matchbox cars. So it held other cars. And it was one of my favorite toys as a kid for the for the Indy 500. So Mario Andretti, Al Unser Jr., all those guys, right? I never was around horse. Like, you weren't around hockey. You always say that growing up. I wasn't around horse racing. I didn't really learn much about horse racing until I came to Ohio.
We had horse racing my whole life. I can remember when my uncle used to sneak me out of church at the end and take me up to Northfield Park. We go up to Thistledown. My parents like, where'd Duff go? Well, he went with Uncle Georgie.
And we snuck out of church.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I can't win. I've been doomed ever since.
You've been cursed for leaving church
early. That's right. We grew up with it, but again, you know, it didn't come back to the forefront for me until years later. A buddy and I, we would drive down to Mountaineer.
Right.
And this is way after it was renamed. You remember when it was Waterford when you were a kid?
No clue.
Waterford's right down there on the river. It can't be more than an hour's drive from where you grew up, maybe even less. How far are you from Pittsburgh?
I'm 35 minutes from Pittsburgh.
Probably about 40 minutes from your house.
Really? Okay. Well,
right down on the river.
My dad.
Right down on the river!
My dad wasn't into it, so I wasn't into it, right? My dad was into bowling, golf, baseball, so that's what I did, you know?
Maybe it was frowned upon, because you go to these tracks and you might be the only person there. Now, we know people are betting online and they're doing things at those, what are those off-track betting? Remember before gambling was really legal?
Right.
Off-track was coming around. In fact, we were in line to get off-track gambling. I believe it was going to go in somewhere out by Eastbury Bowling Center.
Okay.
And then I think it got voted down. This was years ago. So, I mean, if you're not around it, it's kind of like taking somebody, you mentioned bowling. If you didn't know how to score in bowling and you went to a bowling alley and it didn't do it for you, you go to a horse track, you don't know how to wager on these races.
Yeah.
If you can't read a racing form, you really can't make a choice on who to bet.
Okay.
There's a lot of information there. All it is you ready for this?
Yeah.
Analytics.
Yeah, pretty much, right?
Totally analytics.
Before analytics was called analytics, was the horse racing, what do you call it, a guide?
Well, you know, it's a racing form, but you know what it is?
What?
All statistics.
Okay.
In this case, analytics.
Right. Now, see, you just mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
I was a bowling kid. I grew up around the bowl. I grew up in a bowling alley twice a week as a kid. I went on Wednesday nights to keep score for my dad's tavern league. I would keep score for both taverns.
Yeah.
Because it was all, you know, it was
you
Bill's Cafe,
you knew it.
Mariotti's Tavern, and they'd go against each other, and they liked little Kenny coming in.
Sure.
So they wouldn't have to keep score. They could just drink, smoke their cigars, and bowl. So I kept score, and then I bowled in a kids' league every Saturday. So instead of, you know, learning about the racing and other things like that, I learned how to keep score in bowling.
Right. I mean, you really don't have a chance if you don't know how to read a racing form at a horse race. If you went to a bowling alley, didn't know how to score, you wouldn't know what you were doing. Now it does it for you. Yeah. It's like playing a video game.
Yep.
It's a physical video game.
Yeah.
I don't know how to score in bowling, and especially in that 10th frame.
Yeah.
You kidding me?
It's not that hard.
Add one, subtract two, there's math. I just want to bowl.
Three strikes in a row is 30.
A spare is 20. Here's the other thing. You throw a ball, you don't pick up the spare, are you done? I don't know.
For
add
that
10.
Frame you are, you got nine more tries.
Why isn't it like that the whole time then?
So that's on your bucket. Now, we've got people listening who probably disagree with you, like Mark Fisher and Dr. Thomas, when you said not the Notre Dame game or the Ohio State game. You want to go to the Kentucky Derby as part of your bucket list. I'm sure there are people out there that want to go to Rudy's
Absolutely.
You know, place. But I'm with you. No offense, Dr. Thomas and Mark Fisher, but I would rather go to the Kentucky Derby, maybe, than go. Because I've been to Ohio
State.
You've
been to enough football games, to each his own. Yeah. I don't care what stadium it is. All I'm saying is the event. To me, yeah, is it historic to watch the band march in and watch Notre Dame and look at that campus? It's gorgeous.
It is, yeah.
I don't care about that. I want everything else. I want to see, when I see a horse, how many times have I told you Secretariat's one of the greatest athletes of all time?
Yep.
You look at Secretariat, you see those, who was talking about it the other day? Muscles bulging, you see a horse sweating, and you know that these horses, even though Secretariat made his famous run as a three-year-old in the Kentucky Derby, that horse was outstanding, man.
Yeah.
It was just monumental what it did.
And I, and, you know, coming totally clean, another reason I don't like Notre Dame is my high school girlfriend who broke my heart ended up going there. So
you think it's bad? You think that's bad? How about Tim Brown's girlfriend? He won the damn Heisman. She broke up with him. That's another reason not to like Notre Dame.
No, I actually, when he's told that story, I actually, even though he's a Notre Dame guy, I felt for him, man. I'm like, damn, dude, you just won the Heisman. And she said, pick me or football. I mean, come on.
How about that, though? You talk about this. We're going to take this back into Donnie's show because you're talking about greatness, and we're lucky enough to have these Pro Football Hall of Famers come into studio once a week, part of that residency program, and you'll see them all over town.
Right.
But could you imagine one of the reasons you go back into that interview, and you can see all these interviews or at least listen to them at WHBC.com. Tim Brown wins a Heisman Trophy.
Yep.
But going back to why he went to Notre Dame instead of University of Texas, and he said he had 53 offers to play college football.
Right.
What did they tell him? You're going for an education.
Yeah.
So he went there, and the first day he's at Notre Dame, they said, whether you play one day or 4 years, we're going to continue to give you that scholarship. We're going to honor your scholarship.
Absolutely.
So he was going there for football. So on the night of the Heisman Trophy, his girlfriend says, I didn't sign up for this football thing.
Right.
I want Tim Brown, the student.
Back in wherever, yeah.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, see ya.
Bye-bye, girlfriend.
He made the right choice, she did not.
Think? Imagine waking up 30 years later, the guy's in the Hall of Fame, you're going, damn, this guy. And by the way, his Super Bowl when he played for the Buccaneers was on TV today.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah.
You know what that's like? That's like all the ex-boyfriends of Taylor Swift. They're thinking now, damn, why did I break up
with
her?
Wait a minute, except for John Mayer.
Oh, well, he's dated how many people, though, supposedly? I mean, John Mayer is up there with Derek Jeter and Tom Brady when it comes to, starting nines and everything like that. You're starting five, you're starting nine, whatever it is. But, yeah, Donnie Schell, you know me, Steeler kid growing up and everything, and I brought a photo. I'm going to actually ask for an autograph because it's a photo of me holding a photo of me asking for an autograph as a kid in 1974.
This is like that sports almanac in Back to the Future.
Right? I mean, think about it. It is. Because my dad used to take me up to Latrobe, Pennsylvania, St. Vincent's College. We would watch, we'd go up twice every summer to watch the Steelers at training camp. And I had this little black pad where back then, you asked the rookies to sign it because there wasn't a card of them yet. And my dad took a picture of me asking Donnie Schell as, how old was I then? That had to be 75, 76. So I'm probably 12 years old asking Donnie Schell for an autograph. And then I took that picture and showed it to Donnie Schell last time, and we took a picture of me holding that picture, and now I brought that picture of me holding the picture to have him sign the picture.
Dear, that's really confusing.
We'll do a bit, Brian. We're going to shoot video of it, okay?
You just turned into Farley again.
I did, right?
You remember that time?
Hey, Don, you remember that time?
You were in a steel curtain? The steel curtain?
And you guys won a Super Bowl? That was great, wasn't it?
Nobody thought you guys were going to win it. Remember that time Mean Joe Green came out of the locker room?
And he said, here, hold this kid.
With his jersey.
And he threw him my jersey. Yeah. Dude.
I want to ask Donnie Schell if he can remember when the Steelers weren't great.
Yeah, like how much did he know of them as he went to South Carolina State, right?
Yeah.
As a college linebacker / safety, right?
Right.
Coming out of South Carolina. How much did he know about the Steelers?
Everybody jumps on the bandwagon when you're a champion. I can remember as a kid, 1972, Miami Dolphins go undefeated. And they had been appearing in Super Bowls for a couple of times then. They lost one to Dallas. They win one. They beat Minnesota, I think. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking to myself, every kid at Summit Elementary School all of a sudden is a Miami Dolphin fan. I'm going, why? they're a winner.
And the colors were cool,
this
too.
This is before there's dynasties. I mean, that was, I guess, Bob Greasy. That would be considered a dynasty because they made it a couple of years in a row. But there was no bigger dynasty, and maybe even to today, that's lasted as long as the Pittsburgh Steelers. I hate to say it, but it's true.
Here's why. Bill Belichick, who is now an analyst, right, was on, what, is he on the McAfee show? What does he do now?
He was on McAfee for their draft special.
Okay. So Belichick's sitting there, and then there's like five others, and he's talking about the greatest draft classes ever.
Mm-hmm.
And Belichick said, I'm sorry, there is no greater draft class than the 1974 Steelers,
right,
who selected Lynn Swann in the first round, Jack Lambert in the second round, John Stallworth in the fourth round, Mike Webster in the fifth round, and then signed Donnie Schell as an undrafted rookie free agent. They got five Hall of Famers in 1974. Wow. And Belichick said, there is no greater draft class than that. And it produced four Super Bowl championships in 6 years for the Steelers.
Which is amazing. But again, you look at that, how they built their program there, and it didn't end when those guys all retired. They continued the dynasty into the 70s, 80s, 90s. Would they win one last 10 years ago, 12 years ago, whatever it was?
There was about a 15-year drought, okay? They got to like an AFC championship game, and then they were absent for a while. And then Cowher comes in, right? He takes over and builds them back up, and they win a championship under Cowher, Bill Cowher. And then Cowher retires after 15 years. Tomlin, within the first 3 or 4 years, wins one with Cowher's players, and they haven't won one since.
Right.
So, yeah, they've got six total. But, JT, and I was looking at the starting lineups from 74 through 79, right? Dude, that team was just loaded. And we'll talk to Donnie Schell more about it and what it was like. By the way, his roommate was a Hall of Famer as well. Tony Dungy, who's in the Hall of Fame as a coach.
Unreal.
Right? So there's the brains. You know what I mean? Even back then, I'm sure they could tell that Tony, the football IQ part of it, he turns out to be a Hall of Fame coach. So that's at least six Hall of Famers. Then guys that weren't drafted in that same year, you throw in Joe Green, Terry Bradshaw, Franco Harris, Jack Ham. I mean, and Elsie Greenwood, in my opinion, should be in the Hall of Fame, but he's not. But, you know, that's for another. Mike Wagner should be in the, you know. It's going to be fun to talk to Donnie about that coming up here at 4 o'clock. Because each and every Friday now they're bringing us a different Hall of Famer as part of the Pro Football Hall of Famer residency program. And you're the ones who are benefiting from it, right? So are we, because we get to have them in studio, but you get to see them out in the community speaking. Joe DeLaMalier was working at Chick-fil-A the one day, so he got served by a Hall of Fame. I mean, so it's a great program that the Pro Football Hall of Fame has put together, and we're thrilled to be a part of it. Now, if that's not enough, Kentucky Derby, Pro Football Hall of Fame guest again in studio. Cavaliers tonight, game six. A chance to advance to the second round. Thanks, Eric. Eric Brook. They win tonight. They advance to play Boston on Sunday. They lose tonight. They come home for a game seven against Orlando on Sunday. So either way, the Cavaliers are playing on Sunday. And let's hope it's against Boston in Boston, because it would be nice to wrap this up in six games tonight. But to do so, JT, they will have to do something they've never done under J.B. Bickerstaff, and that's win a road playoff game. They are 0-4 over the last 2 years in road playoff games, and the average margin of defeat is 22.5 points. In other words, they've been blown out almost every time. 38 points, 23 points, 20 points. Their closest game on the road the last 2 years, 9 points. So if you're a betting man, money line, you're probably taking the Orlando Magic tonight. But it would be nice if they could prove us wrong and find a way to win on the road and end this thing so we could start against the Celtics on Sunday instead of having to go to Cleveland for a game seven against the Magic.
Any word on Jared Allen?
Questionable. Will probably be a game time decision, meaning he was there at shoot around this morning. He'll get dressed. He'll go to the arena. He'll put on his uniform. He'll try and work out before the game, and then they will determine whether or not he can play tonight.
Mm.
So that's the latest on Jared Allen. No Dean Wade, we know that for sure.
What about Ty Jerome?
Ty Jerome is out. I'm sorry. And we know that Ty Jerome will not play tonight as well. Running joke.
Guardians back in town finally, too.
You know who Ty Jerome is? He's Ray Moon. That's the running gag on this show. Ty Jerome is Ray Moon.
What are the chances we get Ty Jerome?
Yeah. And Guardians return home. You're right. They lose last night, and they got it handed to them. 8-2 to the Astros. They lose 2 out of 3 in Houston. But they come home still in first place by a game and a half. And they've got the Mike Troutless Los Angeles Angels today.
Shocker.
Yeah, so he's hurt.
Who gets hurt more, Ty Jerome or Mike Trout?
Mike Trout, I think.
Really?
Yeah. This is the only time that I know Ty Jerome's been hurt is with us. Mike Trout's been hurt every year, it seems like. My goodness. And I black catted him the other day saying I'd trade for him right now. And then he goes and gets banged up again. And he's compensated $400 million, so you don't have to worry about that. But, you know, when you're a competitor, when you're an athlete, once you have the security, then it gets back to the competition thing, mm-hmm. doesn't it? I mean, you want to play and you can't. It's got to be frustrating for him, man.
We don't have a star like that on our team, on our roster. You could take Jose Ramirez as much as you want.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Mike Trout, obviously one of the faces of Major League Baseball. Bryce Harper.
Even though he doesn't want to be.
Right? Shohei Ohtani. And he doesn't want to. You're right. He doesn't want to be. But his numbers make him that.
Yes.
But he cannot the last couple of years stay healthy.
No. He just can't. So. Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
I mean, here we are. What is this? It's the first Friday in Canton, but it's May 3rd. We're on May 3rd and Mike Trout is already hurt. I mean, that's. Mm-hmm. You set your watch by it. Okay. Yeah. April 30th, Mike Trout gets hurt.
Unfortunate.
You know? And so, hey, that's a benefit for the Guardians, right? Fine. You play them as they come on the schedule. Don't have to worry about pitching to Mike Trout for the next three games.
Nobody's losing any sleep over the fact that we lost Shane Bieber for the year, are
exactly.
they?
Exactly. Exactly. Right? And our bullpen, you know, even though it's doing well, mm-hmm. we got guys banged up in the bullpen. So, a knock on wood, Tristan McKenzie, double T, looking good.
See if he can,
in the neighborhood. Oh,
see,
that's
see how he pitches his next time out, too.
Yeah.
I mean, because I was really nervous, and you're going to hold your breath every time he takes him out. Because, in our mind, they probably should have shut him down after they shut him down last year and had the surgery.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. You know what I mean?
He elected not to, though.
I don't know how you come back from an injury if you don't have the surgery.
Some
or if it wasn't recommended,
have.
I don't know.
Some pitcher. Brian Shaw did the same thing and came back.
Brian Shaw wasn't a starter.
I know, but, you know, he had it and just rehabbed it and had never or hasn't had surgery. Now, you know, he doesn't have, you know, as much life on the fastball as Tristan does, right?
You would think it must not have been as severe as maybe Shane Bieber's injury.
Mm.
Because if that were the case, wouldn't you just shut him down again? And maybe you have that idea that, hey, I either get this thing fixed or it'll heal itself. I don't think they recommended that. They went right to the, oh, it's Tommy John, we're having surgery card.
Right, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. But, hey, we'll see if the Guardians can bounce back tonight. Because what did they finish on that road trip, JT?
Not good. They only won 2 games.
They were under 500, weren't they?
Right.
Yeah. So
where'd they go, Atlanta? In Houston, right?
Yeah, so they are, what?
2-4?
2-4, yeah, and lost both series. And who'd they play before? Did they lose the series before that at home or no?
No, before then, I think it was Boston. Before then, they had only lost, I think, one series, and that was to the Yankees.
Okay, all right. So here's the thing now. You know, putting it in perspective, they've lost 3 series. Yankees, very good team, high payroll, right? Atlanta Braves, best team in baseball, mm-hmm. a lot of people, right? Houston Astros, while they're struggling, they're still considered mm-hmm. by season's end, they'll be a playoff team. So, you know, you can judge it by, okay, within the division, they're going to be
right.
fine. They'll battle the Minnesota Twins, the White Sox, and the Royals. That's fine. Outside the division against the better teams, that's where maybe they'll be 500.
And I would imagine you'd probably be pretty correct in saying that, albeit they should have won 2 of those series.
Mm-hmm.
They should have won the Atlanta series. They could have won the series in Houston as well. They had leads. They squandered in all those games. And remember, they played 4 straight extra inning games.
How about that?
And I think they only won, what?
No, they were 2-2. Yeah, they were 2-2 in those. So, all right, let's do this. We'll get a break in right now. And our expert in handicapping horse races, Ernie Abood, going to join us next to talk about the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby and who he likes. Pay attention. You'll know who to bet on and who not to bet on. Stay with us.
It's Kenny and JT on WHBC.